When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context. Plus, tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, May 23rd, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. You can also listen to us and all your favorite ChairShot Radio Network podcasts on all your favorite platforms. I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard DJ. I'm going to go around the room and do like I always do and introduce this cast of characters that we have on the show. Starting with, from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, and the man with the golden shovel. Mr. Rob, sir, how's your week?
I'm pretty busy. Well, I've been kind of busy at work. Otherwise, not too bad.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Good, good. And hailing from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, he is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast resident high flyer. He's Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, head's clear, ready to go, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready to rock and roll with you guys.
All right. Yeah, we had to kick a few things around. We're actually getting a little bit of a late start. Jason had a rough day at work. I had a rough day at work. And both of us just needed to kind of cleanse our souls and cleanse our minds and reset before we got into this. So we're going to start a little bit late tonight. That's okay, but we do have a bit to talk about. We're going to kick around, for starters, the Jey Uso discourse that's gone on over the last couple of weeks. Then I want to talk a little bit about some house show stuff, and then we are going to go down the King of the Ring finals premium live event that's happening this Saturday. Jason's going to go down the card like we always do. But we're going to start off the show tonight here talking a little bit about Jey Uso. And he has been a huge topic of discussion on the socials for the last week or two. Jey Uso, as a singles competitor, has really gotten over. His entrance is completely immersive with the crowd and doing the yeet. And even more recently, the formerly known as the Fireflies have now started using their phones and their lights during the Jey Uso entrance. It's a big production. It's a lot of fun. Like, it really is, and you feel good for this guy who really was earmarked for the last 10 to 12 years as a tag team wrestler. Like, and if you'd have told me 10 years ago that one of the Usos, who I wasn't even a fan of 10 years ago, would be a main event player on WWE TV, I probably would have laughed you out of the room. But here we are. You know, Jade is there. Jade has been there for quite some time. For the most part, most fans who like to have fun and like fun things are behind Jey Uso. There is a contingent of people who feel like Jey Uso does not do enough bell to bell. Like his, I hate this word, moveset is limited to the super kick, a rather weak spear, if we're being honest. They could retire the spear tomorrow and I wouldn't miss it. If I'm being real with you guys.
Guys, it doesn't have to be a move just because Roman does it. It doesn't have to be a bloodline move. We can just right. let Roman do it.
Right.
And also, that should be a size-centric move. I mean,
Jey Uso's not big enough to be Roman, yeah. believable. Goldberg, believable. Rhino, believable. Jey Uso, not believable. Edge, not believable. I have not for once in 20 years bought Edge given a spear. I'm sorry. I love Edge. I'm an Edgehead. The one thing he does in the ring that I wish he would stop, and he won't because it's part of him, has been the hug of doom. Okay. God love him. God bless him. I hate it when he does the spear. So, but then, you know, and then getting back to Jey Uso, he's got the, like I said, the spear. He's got the Uso splash, the super kick, and honestly, one of the weakest punches of any pro wrestler on TV today.
That is a working punch, DJ. That is a solid working punch, okay?
Of everything that you complained about, you're going to put over his punches?
Look, no, that's a not working punch. That's what that
is. It's not working for me, brother.
Ready? I'm going to, even though some of what I'm going to say about Jay later will fly in the face of this, I will appreciate that. His punches as a stylistic choice, because you cannot forget we are watching stage Mortal Kombat. And it works for him.
That doesn't work for me. Sorry, I'm used to Jerry Lawler, Stan Hansen, Terry Funk. I'm sorry, man. I need some Smash Mouth punches, and I need to feel like you're actually punching somebody, and I just don't get that from Jay. And I love Jey Uso, but that's if I had to complain about his in-ring work, that would be it. But let's start there. Rob, let's go to you. Let's kick it over. Let's talk about some of the discourse on Jey, because it really seems like there is a pocket of fans that are really trying to turn on him and sabotage this rather fun movement.
Well, okay, so it seems, at least from what I've observed, there are kind of two camps. They're the move counters who we should just ignore. Okay.
Yeah. Fast.
And correct. You know, and not that, you know, obviously you want somebody to do more than literally two or three moves in a 10-15 minute match or whatever. Yes, but I'm talking about the people who, you know, counted against you because you don't do, you know, 10 different suplex variations and in one match, and you don't do some crazy degree of difficulty kind of shit. You know, basically if you're not doing Will Ospreay kind of stuff, they hold against you. Right. And right. I mean, I'm talking those people. Right. And so those people you should just ignore. Okay.
Right. I was going to say, we're not going to argue that part, or excuse me, address that part of the argument at all, because those people are dumb.
Right. And look, having actually watched a few Will matches now, Will's great. Okay. He's great and he's great. He can do all that shit. But if you're knocking somebody because they don't, then sorry, you know, but then there are the people who are just kind of like, okay, you know, this, what he does ain't good enough for me to want to see him in the main event of the show. And that's a different thing. And because like the, you know, I often refer to the general audience, right? And like, they're not as weird nitpicky about stuff, but you know, they have kind of their own idea of this guy's great, this guy's good, this guy's just okay, and this guy stinks, right? And they probably couldn't really explain it to you very well, you know, but it's just kind of they watch and they get, you know, they kind of get their feeling about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and so there are some folks who kind of fall into that space. And like for me, okay, I mean, that's kind of where I am. Like, do I want to sit through the whole card and wait to the very end of the card and then he's the guy I'm watching in the last match? Kind of not really. I mean, if he's fighting Roman and there's all that drama to it, sure. But is he somebody, do I want to sit through the whole card for him?
Well, and I think that, we've often asked. We often ask, like when Cesaro was still in WWE and everybody was making the push for Cesaro to have, you got to give him one token run. It's like, okay, let's say the same thing about Jey Uso. What does that look like? Are we going to have 3 to 6 months of him essentially, and I don't mean this, there's no other really nice way to put it, of him doing the same 3 moves?
No.
Right. And you don't even have to put it into like doing the same 3 moves, the same 6 moves, the same whatever moves. But where I come into it, it's kind of what Rob's talking about, that second camp, is like, it is simply like, and it pains me to even say this because I love Jay. I love the Usos. I love the Bloodline. I love Jay again. Like, I love the dude. I love everything he brings. Do I like what he brings in a singles environment? Not as much as I like other people. So, and I'll explain what I mean by with this. Everybody has the sequence, guys. Roman will hit you with the Samoan, big dog Roman Reigns would hit you with the Samoan drop, the Superman punch, the spear, we're out of here, see you later. Seth Rollins would hit you with the kick and then the Falcon Arrow, and then I'll try to pull the pin, and oh my god, I didn't get you with that, then I'm gonna get you with the midsection kick, then I'm gonna get you with either the pedigree or the curb stomp. Boom, bing, bang, boom, we're out of here. Fine, let's do it. AJ Styles, he hits you with the phenomenal blitz, that little combo he does. He hits you with the Pele kick. He hits you with the phenomenal forearm. Maybe if you're a big dude, he hits you with the Styles Clash. He used to end with that all the time until the phenomenal forearm just became a finisher. But that was the thing, sequence. Fucking love that sequence. I will watch that sequence a million times. Jey Uso's sequence is super kick, super kick. Samoan drop, super kick, Uso splash in some sort of order. It is literally just a personal preference thing. It is not about Jey Uso performing those moves. That sequence of moves does not move me. I don't know how to explain it. And it's exactly what DJ said, Rob, you said this. Do I want to sit through the whole card and then get to Jey Uso defending the World Heavyweight Championship with the 6 moves of doom? Now, everyone has the 6 moves of doom, so I should just say the 6 moves of doom that I don't particularly care for. So no, the answer is no. However, and I'm going to end with this, he is a performer of such quality and everything else he brings to the table. If we do get a 4-month, 6-month championship reign out of this, sign me up. I'm good. I fire back at the people who are like, oh, this guy sucks. He couldn't be the main event guy. No, you're wrong. You are just wrong, period. Like, he's checked all the boxes, and literally, I don't know what else to tell you. Everybody has those same 8 moves or whatever that they do for the big end, or to put over the big parts of the match. Yeah. They all have the same 8 moves or 6 moves or 4 moves. So that's not a real complaint.
This is a really difficult conversation for this podcast to have. Because as Jason pointed out, we are heavily in favor of the Bloodline, both the Usos as a tag team, Jay as a singles competitor, and Jimmy hopefully will find his own footing somewhere down the road. I don't think Jimmy's come quite, at least in terms of being a usable character on TV. But we have to be realistic even with wrestlers that we like. And like you said, this is a difficult conversation because I don't ever want anybody to think that I don't like Jey Uso because I love the guy. I also think, like Jason said, if you think he can't have one run for a couple of months, you're dead wrong. Jey Uso's got that crowd eating out of the palm of his hands. And I don't want to go too far down the road of pro wrestling versus sports entertainer, because we've had that conversation on this podcast a million times. The moves at the end of the day, while they are important, they don't matter. And if Jey Uso's selling t-shirts and putting asses in the seats and keeping eyes on the product on TV, Jey Uso is doing a fine job. And it doesn't matter if he doesn't go out there and do six suplex variations and, you know, Roddy Strong backbreaker variations and, you know, cutters and moonsaults and whatever else. He's found a niche. He's found what works for him. And all of the best, like Jason was saying, they have the five moves. I always go back to an interview with Raven. Something random. There's a contingent in the internet that thinks that Raven is like this wrestling god legend. And he's legendary in the sense that he found something that worked. And Raven will tell you straight up, I had five moves and one of them was sitting in the corner. You know?
So, and Kevin Nash was kind of serious when he said what he had four moves and one of them was the hand flip.
Yep. So,
and you know what? The guy did just fine putting asses in seats.
Absolutely. And Jey Uso's the same thing. He doesn't need to go out there and do all this garbage because I can assure you he can. We just did a watch along last week with the, you know, early iteration of the Bloodline. It was the Play in the Paint Usos and the Big Dog Roman Reigns versus WWE's Bullet Club. And Jey was pulling all kinds of shit out of his ass in that match. So Jey Uso is capable, but guess what? Playing the paint, Jey Uso didn't make any fucking money. You know?
Hey, they sold to the little kids.
They did, but if you ask 2015 Jey Uso if he would like 2024 Jey Uso's payday?
Yeah, well, I'm saying 2014 Jey Uso was selling to the kids, and that's it.
Right.
2024 Jey Uso is selling to 1 to 100.
Right. And that's the difference. That's the nuance, and that's the subtlety, and that's what he figured out. And so many people they lean too heavily on the moves. And the moves are great. Like, I've said this a million times on this show. I enjoy a good wrestling match with good, crisp moves that make sense and make it feel like a real fight. And I can look at something and go, man, that was a slick counter, or that was some slick chain wrestling, or, you know, that was just a slick move or whatever. And Jey doesn't always do that, but he doesn't have to. And you know, I'm okay with it moving forward.
Jey's got the drama like down to a science, and yes, he knows how to manipulate the emotion in a match to put his sequence together to make it mean something. Again, I can't stress this enough. I just don't care for super kicks. That's it, man.
If it's not Shawn Michaels, I don't ever want to see another super kick, man. The super kick, and I want the spear to be like on a short list of wrestlers who actually do it.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at.
Because, all right, so you basically, like, we're not saying that Jey is bad.
No, we just all agreed that we would go along with a 4-6 month world heavyweight championship reign and not make a peep.
Yeah. Now, it's just, yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's just, it's like he wrestled Gunther Monday. All right. Out of all the matches I've seen Gunther in, you know, I'd have probably picked almost any one of those other ones over the one he had with Jey Monday. You know, and it's just, again, like, he's just, look, I'm not waiting to the end of the show to watch Jey.
For me, just, it would depend on who he's wrestling.
True. But in most instances, I think, he's, you know, if you put him in somewhere in the middle of the card to wake the crowd back up, I mean, I think that's his perfect best place. I think he would be an outstanding Intercontinental Champion. Okay.
You could get some drama with that.
I think that's a title you could give him and nobody would be wringing their hands over, oh, well, how much longer are we going to have to deal with this? You know?
Right. Go ahead, Rob. I've got a thought to finish yours.
So, I mean, that's just kind of what I think is just, I mean, it's one of those things. Look, if you were to win, we'd all be, it'd be great, be the greatest night. And, you know, Jay's world champion. Yay. But then I think it would kind of be a Dean Ambrose kind of thing shortly after, where he has a bunch of matches that we never watch again after we see them the first time.
Dean Ambrose had better matches before he was world champ.
Yes, but he while he was world champion, he had a bunch of matches that no one ever talks about anymore.
Yep.
And no, I mean, nobody even says they're bad. They just don't talk. They just, I mean, don't mention them, period.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I just got, that's the kind of feeling I get. It would be kind of that kind of thing. And,
right.
You know, and which, you know, I mean, again, if they do it, no problem. Not going to complain if they do it. But, you know, given, I mean, I understand why some people wouldn't be here for it. I mean.
Yeah. I've got a few words for the people on the other side of the fence, the people that are really dying for Jey Uso, and the ones that are sitting there like, they should have pulled the trigger, they should have pulled the trigger. Guys, this is what WWE, this very conversation, the fact that people are having it, is why WWE has not pulled the trigger yet. Somebody can get white hot. White hot, and everybody's like, yeah, that guy, that's the guy, or that's the girl. We got to give it time, because are the cracks going to show? Are the wheels going to come off? And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that WWE looks at. That's why they don't always pull the trigger in the moment. They need to know if this is a sustainable high.
And also, I mean, again, being now he's in a spot where he's in matches on TV, in singles matches on TV more frequently. And that does kind of, we're talking about, it exposes you. You know, and so I think there is some of that going on. Cause,
right.
You know, like when we talk about having the sequence, if it's once a month, you know, against Roman Reigns, then that's fine. If the sequence, if we're seeing it every week, and depending on what your sequence is, right? But if it's a sequence that's just kind of okay, and now we're starting to see it every week, it can, you know, I don't know, but I think the other question now with him though is he's kind of at that point now where, okay, y'all need to give him something.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's earned.
And that's where we need to have this part of the conversation. It's like, okay, because look, guys, I can tell you, I can perfectly explain to you why potentially Jey Uso is not going to win the King of the Ring and why he was not in the finals. Because Tama Tonga is going to do one of those things. And you can't have Jey Uso and Tama Tonga interact this early if you're not going to get the, in that way. Obviously, they walk by each other, you know, this is going to be a thing. And them interacting would be fine. Even having a match on Monday Night Raw, just throw them together or whatever. But no, you can't put them in a high-stakes match right off the rip unless you're going to start doing the thing. And I mean Jey Uso, the Usos, Tama Tonga, Gorillas of Destiny, Bloodline Solo, Bloodline Reigns, let's go. Like,
that's not going to come to a head until Survivor Series.
So, yeah, exactly. Think, you can't even go there. So, you got to get Jey out. Sorry. So, that's the one thing that, okay, let's see what happens on Friday. Because if Tama Tonga somehow beats Randy Orton and goes to the finals against Gunther, well, we'll at least have a plausible explanation as to why Jey Uso did not go to the finals and why he did not, you know, win the King of the Ring.
So let's transition away from Jey here a little bit, but let's kind of segue into some King of the Ring talk as we're, Jason's kind of, you know, foreshadowing the tournament. We've got the premium live event this weekend. I want to talk about a little bit about house shows, because a couple of the qualifier matches or the tournament matches took place on house shows. I think it was LA Knight versus somebody, and I don't remember who it was, but they made a big, like, people online were making a big deal out of, like, why would you do that at a house show? And I want to pick your guys' brains on this and see how you feel about it. I like when they do things like this on the house shows, because a lot of times with house shows, they're fun. I love house shows. You know, I wish more would come near me so I could go more. It's a great wrestling night, for less money than a Raw or SmackDown or a pay-per-view. But there's not, at least historically in the last probably 15 years or so, unless they're in the middle of a massive angle like Reigns and Lesnar and Lesnar getting busted open at Madison Square Garden, nothing shocking usually happens. Like, I think back to when Bret Hart beat Ric Flair for his first WWE or WWF, I should say, World Heavyweight Championship. He beat him in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan on a house show. And it was shocking. You're like, wait a minute, what? He didn't beat him on TV? So I like when they do things like that once in a while. And I think it's okay to do that because it raises the stakes at the house shows and actually, by default, makes the house shows a little more palatable, like more attractive to people who may not normally go. Jason, I'll start with you. Did you like the idea of them having the King of the Ring matches on the house shows, or do you think it should have been strictly for TV?
No, I liked that they did it. Going to a house show is fun. And then, like, there was that NXT show that Joe beat Finn for the title. There was somebody recently won the United States Championship at a house show. And yeah, guys, I'm sorry. It's only for like 1,000 people. But you know what? Those 1,000 people just had the night of their freaking lives. So, cause, you know, what, if you're a WWE mark, or even if you're not, you go in there and someone probably tells you the deal, like, yeah, stuff doesn't happen on these shows, it's just most wrestling, blah, blah, blah. And then something does happen, or a meaningful event happens, yeah, don't give away, like, Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, but, like, or, you know, for the millionth time, but just don't do that, but, yeah. Have this stuff. That's awesome. And it makes the wider connected WWE cinematic universe feel more real.
All right. Rob, you got any thoughts on it?
I got no issue with them doing it. I think it's a good idea. I'm kind of laughing because I think the real reason they did it is because they ran out of time to do it.
No, absolutely. I know that's why. I know that's why they ran long on one of their segments.
So I think, I don't think they were being altruistic here, you know, I just think they looked at the run sheet and said, oh shit, we don't have time to do all of these, you know, because this is a short, I mean, it's a 3-week turnaround between Backlash and this premium live event. So, and that 3 weeks that's a super short turnaround in between events. So look, they blocked out they were blocking out the show formats. They're like, well shit, we don't have time to do all these matches. And I think I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately it doesn't matter. I mean, this is one of those cases where the real reason doesn't really matter. And look, I'm all for doing something more important on a house show. I think is a good idea because again, it's something extra. And also, I mean, it's good business because now, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, you know, you got more incentive to go because something might happen here.
Right. You know? I'm going to use a recency bias thing that Tina and I just went to. She and I went to Welcome to Rockville in Daytona about 2 weeks ago. And Disturbed played night, it was either night two or night. There's Friday or Saturday night. I forget which night it was. It was a long weekend. And recently, in the last 6 months or so, they did a song with Ann Wilson of Heart. It was a duet, and it's a really good song if you haven't heard it. I forget the name of it off the top of my head. Tina would probably rattle it off. But they did the song, and while we were watching them, they start playing that song. Now, mind you, I'm at a festival, and nothing big really happens at a festival. Like, the bands come out and play. Once in a very, very, very blue moon, do you get some kind of, like, major surprise? We got one that night when they actually brought out Ann Wilson from Heart to come out and sing the song with them. Now, usually they'll just grab one of the girls from one of the other adjacent bands because there's a lot of female-led bands with really, really good vocalists that'll come out and sing her part. But for them to actually bring out Ann Wilson on stage at a festival, you know, that we were at, I thought was incredibly cool. They don't do stuff like that. And there's so many artists that do collaborations that I would love to see live. And just because schedules don't line up, or, you know, the haggling over pay, or just so many different logistical reasons why they can't do it, we don't get those collaborations live. It was cool to see that. And it's the same type of thing, you know, with wrestling. You know, every now and then it's okay to do the cool thing at a show that's not a big broadcast event. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like, look, because when you two did that thing at the Sphere, they did a whole Vegas run there. And, you know, one night they brought out Lady Gaga to sing with them.
Oh, that's cool. Now imagine how the people there felt that night.
Yeah, and that wasn't announced or anything, right? So, but if you happen to be there that night, I mean, you know, I mean, it's like the greatest thing ever. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm all for that. I think, you know, it's good business. To me, the reasoning is just kind of funny.
Yeah, know? No, I know. It's like I said, I'm not trying to completely put it over. I just think it's cool when they do that.
I'm not even knocking them for that. To me, it's funny because just, well, you know, when you're working on projects and, you know, you're blocking stuff out, or you're talking about it, and you're like, oh shit, what are we going to do about this? And that type of stuff happens all the time.
You know, that's a good problem to have, because it just means creatively they've got a lot of shit going on right now.
Yeah, and I think ultimately, what's the harm in having a King of the Ring qualifying match in a house show? What's the harm in that?
You do that, or do you do what they did to Kofi Kingston with Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, or do you just say, or do you do what they did last time they did Queen's Crown tournament a few years ago, and all the matches were like 2 minutes long?
Yeah. Horrible. I'd rather them do it on the house show and give them time to cook.
Yeah.
So, speaking of premium live events, speaking of King and Queen, we cannot forget Queen of the Ring as well. Just announced today that the winner, this is high stakes now, guys, this is important. The winner of the respective King and Queen of the Ring get a future championship shot at SummerSlam. And I think that's pretty freaking cool. You know, I think that's a great thing. I think it's way past due. Now just, you know, adds another thing for people to really kind of, you know, fight over to get a world championship shot. You know, we've got, you know, Money in the Bank. We've got the Royal Rumble. We've got Elimination Chamber. And, you know, now we've got King and Queen of the Ring. And Jason is going to take over. We're going to take over the card and talk to us a little about that. And we're going to give our thoughts on that here. Jason, I'm going to kick this over to you. As he's still on mute. God love them.
Yeah, I'm still on mute. Sorry about that, guys. We have first up, I don't know what particular order they're going to go in on this, when the show actually starts, but I'm just going to go in this order on the card from Wikipedia. We'll peek behind the curtain there. No, Hunter did not send me the card ahead of time. Sorry, guys. So we had Gunther, who had won his side of the Raw side of the King of the Ring tournament versus the winner of the SmackDown bracket, which will either be Tama Tonga or Randy Orton. I think it's going to be Tama Tonga, and because the Bloodline can just cheat to win, and, you know, that's fine. And I think that's why Jay had to bow out early, and, I think I'm, ooh, versus Gunther, I don't know. I could see them go, it's probably going to be Gunther, and you could set up some sort of Bloodline versus Imperium thing to keep a lot of people occupied for a little while. So yeah, I'm going to go that way. I think Gunther's going to be our new, I guess it would be the Emperor of the Ring. You know, he's an Imperium. He's the Ring General. I don't know. Well, regardless, he's definitely going to be a king. So I think Gunther's going to win this thing. Rob?
I think Gunther wins, and I think Randy's going to win Friday. And it's possible that, you know, that the Bloodline causes him to lose on Saturday. You know, I think ultimately Gunther wins it, because, like, I don't think Triple H, you know, you didn't bring him this far for him to lose the thing. So, yeah, I think he wins it.
DJ?
Yeah, I think Randy wins on Friday night. I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on Tama just yet, and it does not hurt him at all to lose to Randy Orton. I think Randy and Gunther are going to have one hell of a good match on Saturday.
Yeah, I think
Gunther's taking it home though.
I think with a short card, you absolutely want to do something like Randy versus Gunther.
Yeah, and you know, Randy's only got, he says he's got several more years. You never know how many years you got. So there's as much smaller window for Gunther versus Randy than there is Gunther versus Tama.
All right.
Although they're pretty close in age, aren't they? Tama's not a youngin'.
No, Tama's, he's around 40. Yeah.
He's around 40, and Randy's what, 41, 42?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I still think Randy's the play here.
Or does Tama Tonga use this opportunity to formally take the gun stun from Randy and so Tama Tonga puts Randy away with the old RKO gun stun, and that's the way he says, no, this is my finisher too.
I don't think so.
If Randy were wrapping it up, maybe he'd pass that on, but nah, not yet. Not yet, Bubba.
Yeah, I think there's a world where you can make it work, but in any case. Next up, we have the women's Queen of the Ring finals. We have Lyra Valkyria from Raw versus the SmackDown brackets winner, which, hang on, I've got my brackets right here. It's going to be Nia and Bianca. So I don't know. I feel like it's going to be the winner. Again, the winner is going to come from SmackDown. Cause I don't see Lyra winning the Queen of the Ring, but I don't know, maybe. But yeah, I could see either Nia or Bianca winning, the Queen of the Ring. And if I truly do not know who I'd pick cause either one's great for this. And I'm just going to go with, Nia. So Nia's going to win. Rob?
I'm fully rooting for Nia Jax here. Just like Jey Uso, you need to give her something. She's been doing too good since she came back. Just not give her nothing.
Right.
And if she's not going to win the women's championship, then this is exactly the type of thing you can give her. And so I'm fully rooting for her to win Friday and to win on Saturday.
There you go. Okay. DJ?
Yeah, this is a tough call for the Friday night match first with Bianca and Nia, because I would love to see a crown on the gorgeous head of Bianca Belair and see her carry around a scepter. She's already a queen, but Queen Nia would just eat.
Yes.
Would just eat that up, man, especially as incredible as she's been. Queen Nia would eat. I'm throwing it out there. I'm going to pull for Nia Jax. I'm actually actively pulling for Nia Jax right now.
The bully queen Nia Jax, but also nobody steps up because it's fucking Nia Jax. What are you going to tell her? Like, and she's just being sort of mean to everyone, but not like a real bitch, just kind of running stuff. Oh, come on. Give me that.
Yes, that eats, man. That's right in my wheelhouse. Oh.
And to me, like one of the things for me with these King and Queen of the Ring stuff, for me, it's who do I think, you know, it's working the gimmick after it's over. And
yep.
And that's my point with Nia. Nia will do more work than Bianca would.
I did want to mention, oh my God, is this their way of like, so okay, now you win and you get a championship opportunity at SummerSlam. So now there's another tangential prize, tangible prize. Is this a way of getting around it if, like, and I'm not stumping for the guy again, but I'm saying this is the kind of guy who would avoid the gimmick. To allow Tama Tonga to win and not have to walk around with a crown and a scepter and a whatever, because he can just kind of say, like, have a contract or have a something.
I think there's no chance of him winning because.
Well, no, I was just saying, like, whoever it is. Just so that, like, they don't, so we don't have to turn whoever it is into Queen Bianca or King Tama or King Randy and kind of run with the gimmick. We just say, okay, you won your SummerSlam match. You got your SummerSlam match. You're the King of the Ring. If you want to walk around with your crown, you can, but then, like, they're not going to get their, like, special entrance music or anything like that. And I say, if that's part of the plan, You need to revisit that plan.
Yeah, because I think, look, Gunther can be your serious winner who's like, okay, I won this tournament, now I want my title shot.
And then, kind of like Stone Cold and Austin did back in the day.
Yeah, and then right. Nia
can be your, Bret Hart.
Yeah, and then and Nia can be the one to work the gimmick.
I think
it's good that, and you know, you can have one serious person and one person do the gimmick. I think, especially since you're doing a tournament for both the men and the women now. And in that way, to me, I think you cover both bases. Cause I think you need both. Okay. Cause I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. If it's just some, if you're only going to do the serious thing, then
yeah.
Look, keep that. Just okay. Keep that.
Have him win a qualifying match to get that SummerSlam match. We didn't need to go to King of the Ring.
Yeah.
It was a waste of time then. Cause yes, again, we're going to go back to this. We're watching Mortal Kombat. We're watching Saturday morning cartoons. I want my goddamn Queen Bianca or whatever it ends up being. Goes, yeah, so sorry, I'm in charge. Duh.
Yeah, you're in charge. This is your show, pal. We're live, pal.
I was just letting it breathe. You know, it's all a radio trick. So anyway, next up, we had Becky Lynch defending her Women's World Championship.
Raw Women's Championship. This is a mandate on this show. I'm laying down right here.
No, veto. Whatever veto I have, power I have, if that's like a chair to the back, into the one of you, then fine. Because no, that's awesome.
He vetoed it, man. He like went right up there and stuck his chest out.
Because it's again symmetry, man. Symmetry. All the titles on Raw are the world. And then on SmackDown we have the WWE, the WWE, and the WWE. I love
that. That's annoying.
Yes,
and, well, you know what? The Raw Tag Team Champion, the Raw Heavyweight Champion, and the Raw Women's Champion flow just as well.
Yeah. But what? But then if they trade shows, what do you fuck? Then you're swapping belts, changing names, blah blah blah, and then you got a bunch of assholes on some podcast.
Don't trade shows.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Yeah. All right. So I think Becky's obviously going to. Well, actually, no. I stake that back. I could see a world where Liv wins and does some crazy Liv stuff, some evil Liv stuff, and sneaks this thing out. I don't. If I had to place a bet, I would put it on Becky, but still, I would not put a significant amount on Becky. How about that? Rob?
Can we have Bane coming to the stadium during the.
All right.
For starters, Rob hates women's wrestling. Two, Rob doesn't care for either one of the women in this match.
That's
cool,
man.
But it,
yeah. It's like a triple win. This is a trifecta of Rob hate-isms.
I'll quote a line from Sunday Bloody Sunday. Somebody lost, but tell me who's won. I'm not gonna say nothing nasty about neither one of them. Neither one of them is my cup of tea for different reasons, and they're both in a match against each other. So,
Rob's gonna be in making a sandwich or something.
That'll be fine. No, the match will be fine to good. So,
for anybody calls me a hater, when anybody comes on the wrestling show who I either do not like or I'm not interested in, I go do something else. And no matter who it is,
he doesn't hate watch.
I do not hate watch. Okay, I will if it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 15 minutes, I will go do something else. Okay, I am not the least bit interested in Karrion Kross. Okay. But when Karrion Kross comes out there, I'm not going to be on Twitter for the next 10 minutes complaining about Karrion Kross. You know what I'm going to do? I go do something else. Okay. And then I come back when he's done. All right. And so for me, that's just, you know, in this case, that's kind of what this is for me. I'm not going to shit on either of them. Now, as far as, who I think will win, hard to figure because they've had damage control floating around, you know, so that for me, that would, if they're going to do something afterwards with them, then that, I think that would kind of mean Becky would hang on to it. And then, you know, go start fighting them. I think that, the problem with Liv wins it, then what? Like, who's, like, is, I mean, cause I think, well, one, if she does win it needs, since she's supposed to be a heel now, if she does win, it's gotta be something dirty and underhanded. Like, she shouldn't just win. She should not win fair and square if she wins. Cause then what are we doing? So if that happens, then what? I mean, I guess she's going to have a match with Lyra on the next pay-per-view. I don't know. I mean, they're kind of, it seems like they're kind of headed towards each other. I mean, I guess, but I think there's more to do after this if Becky hangs on to it.
Okay.
There you go. All right. So, Deej?
I am pulling for Liv Morgan. I haven't hidden the fact. I like Liv Morgan. Do I think she's the best woman on the roster? No. But I like this, especially now that she's heel. Like, I love this unhinged cuckoo bird, you know, Liv Morgan. I'm here for it. I love Becky, and I've loved Becky since the NXT days, but I really feel like she has more value to the company right now not being women's world champion. Does that make a bit of sense to you guys? Probably not, because you're both quiet.
Not really, especially going into SummerSlam or like that season. I'm like,
I don't know if her role in the company now should be a little different. Like, they've got a lot of really good women on the roster. And I think it's time for her to start working with those women at the lower card level to elevate them.
She's the NXT champion. What else do you want? You want her to do another semester in NXT? Because you know what? I could do it.
I'm pulling for Liv Morgan, and I'm going to take a 20-minute victory lap on that episode, on our episode, if she wins.
I'd be like, hey, you lost me a little bit there at the end there, bud.
Okay.
I mean, I think,
but that's okay.
I think right now, given the makeup of the roster right now, unless Eel's going to win or something, I think Becky makes more sense. Cause again, I mean, this, when we talk about people again with it's back to the ring work thing, I mean, it's very similar. It's like, you know.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand, and he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You really want to watch that for 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, because if Rhea Ripley's coming back in time for SummerSlam, you've got Rhea and Liv right there.
That's why Liv wins.
I think you can make that switch a month before SummerSlam.
Right, or certainly not right now.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but you have no sizzle to the steak if Liv wins it and then 3 weeks later loses it or goes like, no, she's got to win it now. Yes. She's got to rub it in everybody's faces and build that heat. You got to build the sizzle, it. Man.
Rob, also with like the Jey Uso conversation, we have to talk about the sequence and the whatnot. I think Liv is fine and I think their finisher is awesome.
I think it stinks, man. You kidding me?
No, if she does it on the right, well, It depends on the person she does it to, unfortunately. But when she does it to somebody bigger, it actually works. But the point is, okay, yeah, I don't want to do – yeah, her sequence works, and I think that if you – I would not be that excited about the matches, but I would be excited about the first probably month, maybe even 2 months of world champion again – Liv Morgan, but also she's a giant jerk now.
She's like, a giant jerk, and she spends the next 2.5 to 3 months antagonizing Rhea Ripley.
Like Jay, like she could do all that stuff. That's going to be awesome. So I could see a world where it happens.
Because Rhea's obliterating her when they get in the ring together. Let's be real here. Like, let's be very, very honest with ourselves. When that match finally happens,
that will be Liv's greatest crash test dummy, like, sequence and appearance of her.
Because Rhea's going to beat her within an inch of her life.
And Liv's had some good ones, by the way.
Yeah.
So, get out of here.
Move on before Rob has a stroke. Hey, the conversation we're going to have.
I'm on the revenge tour. I sound like a CEO reading the teleprompter, but I'm on the revenge tour.
See, Rob, you're
I'm
doing
it. I'm getting my revenge, everybody. Revenge. I'm on the revenge tour. Listen to me. I sound great?
I just want to tell the fans at home that, like, Rob hating women's wrestling is a gimmick. Him leaning into it this much, though, is I don't know.
I don't know. We're blurring the lines between working and shooting here.
I'm sick of this, okay? I'm sick of this, okay? She's okay, all right? And she's terrible at talking, okay? She sounds like a teenager reading a teleprompter, okay? But I'll give her a pass because she's so cute.
And that's Rob.
I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of this shit, okay? All right, she sounds terrible when she talks.
Finisher sucks. So Finisher sucks. She can't talk. Oh, man.
I said she's okay as a wrestler, okay?
The shoot bear is off the chain tonight, man.
But no, because y'all keep doing it. No, I'm sorry, okay? No, we can't keep doing this.
Oh, the conversation we're going to have if she wins on Saturday.
The other side of the coin is Jey Uso. I don't know, man. The shit she does. It pops me. I can't even explain it, man. Like the fact that Jay's shit doesn't pop me, I can't friggin' explain it, man. It's just I watch that thing and then chemicals come out in my brain. So that's the best I can do you.
Okay, what's next?
Oh yeah, there's more.
I have lost control of this show tonight.
So next, it's okay. We have the Intercontinental Championship being contested in a triple threat match where Sami Zayn will defend his championship against Chad Gable with, tentatively, after the events of Raw, Otis and Bronson Reed. So I think this is Sami's probably going to get out of this. I mean, I don't know. This is one I just straight up can't call. I'd be fine with any of the decisions here. Because I could see all of them spinning off into something good coming out of it. So I think it all depends on what happens with Otis. Because obviously they teased him turning on Chad, but then when Maxine did, and she up and left and got out of there, she's done with Chad's villainous ways. Otis did and then reneged after he got slapped in the face by Chad. They did end up helping Chad. So... It, like most of the great WWE pay-per-views of the past, like, 5 years, it all depends on Otis. So I think if Otis does stick with Chad, then I think Chad's going to win here. If Otis is part of the betrayal, then I think it confirms his betrayal, then I think we're going to get Sammy retaining an outside chance Bronson Reed. But, all right. I'm going to say Sami Zayn's going to retain. Rob?
I'm going with Gable. Like, I mean, you can't keep putting him in these matches and him not win.
I mean, That's fair. I wouldn't argue against it.
Yeah. Or at least, I think you shouldn't keep putting him in these matches and him not win one. And I think, you know, I think for the inevitable breakup or whatever down the line, I think having Otis help him win can add to that, you know, because, you know, he's going to keep berating all of them. And at some point, you know, Otis will be like, well, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have that or whatever, you know. So I think Gable wins here.
All right. DJ?
Yeah, I got to agree with Rob. I think Gable, if there's a you deserve it guy, and I hate that chant, it's Gable. He's done so much. He's come so far. He's really worked hard to put himself in a believable position. One thing I do like about this match is Bronson Reed. I am so glad because we've had some conversations about Bronson Reed. And, you know, we all support the guy. We all hope the best for him. But we kind of started to feel like maybe they're starting to change their minds on him. I'm glad to see him getting an opportunity on a premium live event in a championship match. I don't think he's going to win, but I think this is one of those opportunities where he can go out there and show everybody, hey, I was a guy who was North American champion at one point, and I can do this. And I'm hopeful for that for him this weekend.
All right. So last up, we have the formerly known as the WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship being contested in a match with the guy who has it right now, Cody Rhodes, versus the United States Champion.
You call him champion, pal, not the guy who has it.
The guy who's holding it right now.
Oh, my
United
God.
States versus the United States Champion, duly elected and won championship, Logan Paul.
Anarchy on this show this week.
Yes.
Everybody just going into business for themselves.
His championship is not on the line. He wisely had his lawyers get him out of that. Cody thought he was going to be double champ, and I was going to self-immolate if that happened. And
same here.
Yeah, that's too much, man.
Cody, two belts, anybody?
Yeah, no.
No takers on that? Okay.
Cody Rhodes gets two belts? Jail right away. So let's see here. Obviously, we know how this is going to go. Cody's going to win. It's just going to be a matter of how does it go down. And I mean, I'm sure they'll tell, they'll have a good match. They've obviously Logan has shown that he can work pretty much anything you throw at him. And Cody will be just fine. You know, if I assume he's quarterbacking that thing, they'll be just fine, guys. So this is probably going to be a better than you probably expect match. I'm going to say it's going to be good to great. It's possibly, I don't know. We got all timer, kind of, I don't know. I think they're those two guys' styles and with what we've seen from Logan and obviously again, what we know of Cody as a wrestler, this could be for really fun. Logan's absolutely going to lose, but it could be really fun. Rob?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a foregone conclusion as far as he's winning. But yeah, I think it'll be good and, you know, and probably very good. But I was a little surprised that they went to this quickly. I thought maybe they would do it when they do the crown jewel thing in what, November or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it did kind of surprise me that they jump into this so soon. It just has me wondering how this whole thing is going to go with Cody because, you know, look, and no, the fans are not going to turn on him, but I think there's a question of how long can we keep this thing interesting? And without, I mean, you know, because look, I mean, for 2 years it was finished the story and that kind of drove everything. And so he finished the story and now we're just kind of doing Challenger of the Month for a little while.
Well, we've had that discussion and I don't think we're in those woods yet. I don't think we're in the like, okay, we need a story thing. Cause you can't forget. This is Saudi Arabia. This is kind of a side road. You know, it's basically from what the history of the show, it's a side road unless it isn't, you know? So I think we should grant a little more grace and as much as it kills me to grant Cody a little bit of grace. Here we go. So yeah, sorry, I just had to interject there.
Oh, no problem. I just, yeah, yeah, to me, I was a little surprised they went to it this quickly. Because again, because I mean, they'll be back there in November, so I figured they would do it then. But, yeah, I guess, but it's one of those things where I guess I'm just not super interested in it, to be honest. Yeah, I mean, just, I'm not, you know, I mean, look, it'll be, sure. I'm sure it'll be very good. I'm just not super interested in it, to be honest.
All right. DJ?
This is, obviously there's no surprises coming out of this one. This is one that I'm interested for the bell to bell content. Bell to bell, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Logan gets better every time I see him out there. I think Cody's going to really coach this kid through to a really, really spectacular match. Our champion, Cody Rhodes, will win. But yeah, I look to have fun with it. I'm a bit more invested in it than probably you two are. I do agree at some point with Cody, we're going to have to introduce a big bad. Like, we cannot, and maybe we'll get there when we get closer to SummerSlam, but this villain of the week ain't cutting it. I'm not uninterested in him, but I don't think there's a lot of mileage in the villain of the week. So I hope there's a big bad coming on the horizon. But we'll see. We'll see. All in all, I think it's going to be a fun match.
Well, I mean, potentially, you know, if all of our predictions go sideways, potentially that big bad could be Randy Orton.
Could be.
And I feel like that's a program they've wanted to do. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, you know, because they're actual, like, best friends, right?
They're pretty close as far as I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I'll put it too. Like, as far as I've seen from my view, they're pretty darn close. So yeah, they want to do that match. And what better place than two-night SummerSlam? Speaking of,
let's have that discussion. We've got a couple minutes. Let's have that discussion.
Yeah, because we're pretty much that wraps up King of the Ring. So, yeah. It was recently announced that SummerSlam is coming to, where is it going?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, Minnesota.
2026.
Or Minnesota, not Milwaukee specifically, but Minnesota.
Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Minneapolis in 2026, and it will be a two-night event. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I feel like they've been trending this way for about 5 or 6 years. We have been referring to SummerSlam as WrestleMania Junior for at least 5 years now. Yeah. And with the roster that they have and with the stories that they're trying to tell, they can easily fill a two-night premium live event for SummerSlam. So I think they can do it. Do I think they should? I have mixed emotions about it. On one hand, I'm going to watch. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm not going to watch 2 minutes. Yes, I am. Shut up. But part of what makes WrestleMania special, especially now, is that it's an event. Like, it's a week. For the talent, it's 10 to 12 days. For a lot of the fans attending, it's 4, 5, 6 days. It's a whole vacation weekend to go and experience the biggest show of the year. Are we going to put that much pomp and circumstance into SummerSlam? And does that take away from WrestleMania? And that, I think that's a to-be-determined answer.
So, hang on. I would tell you that, based on the last two SummerSlams and the directions they've been trending, yeah, kinda. I think they're gonna bring their A game, man.
And maybe since, and I'm gonna be a little snarky here, maybe since there's no competition, WWE is gonna start competing with itself. You know, okay, we put out WrestleMania. WrestleMania was fucking awesome. Let's see if we can do better for SummerSlam.
Brock Lesnar brought a tractor. Brock Lesnar brought a tractor to kill Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns still won, by the way.
That was a SummerSlam main event, my friends.
Yeah, that was, if they've only gone up from there in every direction. So, yeah, man, and I'll say the same thing I say about every single time we have the two-night discussion. As a person who nine times or more than that, most of the time watches from my couch, I love it because it's over by 11 It's just a quick two-night thing. It's like it makes it a nice little like weekend sort of thing instead of just a one-night thing. Yeah. So it's awesome. And obviously the time, you know, it's over 11, both nights. Great. Let's do that. As an attendee, as someone who just came back from WrestleMania, did not go to both nights. I did go to night two, and Rob also went to night two, or did not go to night one, just like me. And I will posit this to you, Rob, after experiencing what we experienced night one, or night two rather, would you be excited for two nights of that?
Oh man.
Remove the weather from the occasion on that question, Rob, because I know the
so
weather
here, was the here you go. I'll tell you this. If I didn't know what the card was and know what the matches were, like, and I could just tell you my live experience, I would probably not go. Obviously, retroactively, you know, hindsight being 2020, yeah, I'll sit through an ice storm to watch, you know, Roman Reigns and the Avengers Part 1 and Roman Reigns and the Avengers Part 2. Like, obviously. Shy of that, though, I don't know, man. That's a lot.
And see, that's where I'm like, this is, it's a lot. And, you know, and it's the time commitment, you know, if it's ever expanding, like there reaches a point where you just don't have, we just don't have time or energy to take in all of this stuff. And so, I mean, like, and look, with WrestleMania, it's, you know, it's WrestleMania. It's once a year. You know, kind of, you know, doing the kind of mental preparation or whatever you got to do to, you know, to lock in for two nights and all of that. You know, for that one particular thing, it's fine. It's just, again, it's a matter of just, you know, at some point, like, you know, if it's two nights, am I going to clear the calendar for two nights? Just take in all of both nights? Probably not.
I will to watch it from home. I won't. I agree with Jason. I don't think I'd go through two nights of any wrestling event to actually go there live.
No, I wouldn't either.
I was cold. I was cold at the end of that show.
Oh yeah, and it's, man, it's just, you know, if they're gonna keep doing this, like if they're gonna do it at SummerSlam, and some people on Twitter talk about, you know, two night Royal Rumble.
No.
And
no.
That, I mean, the Rumble card now is just, it's turned into basically a two match show, and stretching that in across two nights, just, you know, but even with SummerSlam, but they had like seven or eight matches last year at SummerSlam. I mean, turning that into 12 or 14, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot. I mean, just given the way they kind of, their parts of the show, they do kind of paint by numbers during this time of year. Or during the kind of summertime and fall even. I mean, yeah. Stretching that across two nights, you're going to have a lot of filler matches. Put it this way. I mean, okay. If they can somehow, if they will lock in creatively so that you have actually 12 or 14 matches that all have something real, like, substantive behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's different. I mean, because they almost get there with WrestleMania. They usually do like, you know, maybe 11 or 12 out of the 13 or 14 matches will, you know, but.
Like, you have to hit a home run like they did with this year's WrestleMania. And yeah, I joke about the Avengers stuff, but yeah, the Avengers stuff happened at the end of both shows. So like it was going to be a big to do at the end anyway. And that card was so well put together.
It really
wasn't
was.
Even funny. Like, yeah, that, like it, and you got, you, and they were weaving a year plus worth of story for some of those matches. To now have to do that twice a year?
And then you gotta, and that's the thing. It's like, cause last year for SummerSlam, they, you know, I mean, a lot of those matches, either had a real short build to them, or it was just kind of basic, you know, paint by numbers kind of stuff leading up to it. I mean, that's a lot to do it across two nights. And then look, the last two WrestleManias, you had a perfect, you know, night one segue to night two. If you're just having two nights of matches, I mean, there's a difference between having the kind of segue from night one to night two that they had in the last two WrestleManias to just having two nights of matches. Like at WrestleMania 38, they had two nights of matches.
Yeah.
And it's different, right? And I think at SummerSlam, if you make it two nights going forward, it's just going to be two nights of matches. And, you know, and obviously look, they're doing it because they're getting money to do it. Okay. That's why they're doing it, folks. But,
Talk about that, because again, we talked about just a minute ago, I mentioned WrestleMania week. It turns into basically Comic-Con for wrestling fans, and a lot, and you know who wants them to do it? The indie wrestling promotions. Because if they turn SummerSlam into like a mini WrestleMania week, you're going to watch the indies descend on whatever town they're in, set up camp, and try and make some money.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and they should. And so, yeah, the indie promotions absolutely want WWE to run a two-night SummerSlam. And you know what? For them to benefit for it, if they can benefit from it two nights or, you know, 2 weeks out of the year, I can't fault them for the hustle.
Yeah. And, cause look, I mean, WWE's getting site fees for these shows now and everything. So
yeah.
You absolutely, look, you maxed that out while it's there, because we know, look, the business goes in cycles, like everybody says, like, you know, so right now these cities are giving you money right now. So you take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, probably won't be there.
Well, you're going to hit some lean times at some point, and you better have. Yeah, I mean, you better be prepared for the lean times.
Yeah, but you get as much out of it, you know, when the money's falling from the sky, you grab as much of it as you can, which is kind of is right now. And look, this won't. And this is not going to be a permanent thing. Look, just like we said before, there will come a time where there'll be, you know, WrestleMania be one night again, right? And so, but you'd be a fool right now with the, again, money, right now money's falling out of the sky. You'd be a fool to not just get as much of it as you can right now while it's there. So that's why they're doing it. It's just for me, again, that's a two night. Because it's just, you know, and if you're going to watch everything that week, then that's, you're talking Raw, NXT, SmackDown, and whatever NXT takeover thing they do that weekend.
Yeah.
In two nights of SummerSlam. Some of that stuff's going to get skipped. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what it is. I mean, as a viewer, you're going to make a decision and not try to, and just say, because you can't, you know, you're going to burn yourself out if you're trying to take all that stuff in. So as a viewer, you're just going to have to make some decisions, like, okay, you know what, I'm not going to watch the takeover, or I just won't watch the TV this week or something. And, you know, it's just a lot.
All right. Well, I don't think I've got anything more to add to that. Jason, you got any parting thoughts?
Nope. I am good to go, my friends. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, we had a good discussion here tonight. I'm going to go back around the room like I always do and thank my co-host, Jason, sir. Thank you for pulling it together, man. I was a little iffy myself.
I told you guys, once we just got in the groove, we'd be just fine. And what do you know?
Here we are. An hour later and we cooked.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, Jason, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, always a pleasure, sir.
Yes, I guess I earned my cornet badge for this week, didn't I?
There you go.
It was all out chaos on here. I completely lost control of the ship. It was anarchy, you know, anarchy here on the podcast. Yeah. I enjoy it. Yeah, we can't agree all the time, guys. That's terrible.
I know.
That's terrible content. You know, when we agree on everything all the time. And again, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
No, I hope certain fans don't come after me now. Please don't.
Nah, they won't. They'll be all right. They know it's a bit.
I was going to say it was good. It's good to hear us disagree once in a while.
I like it. I think it's fun. All right, guys, we are going to get out of here. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week, where we will give the wrap-up show to the king and queen of the ring.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.